Appreciate being able to be here on this beautiful Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and truth. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the mission being the prayers this morning. That is encouraging. And I don't hesitate to say at any time that I need your prayers, and I appreciate you remembering me in your prayers. God has blessed us in a good number of ways. Probably in so many ways that many of them we take for granted or don't even recognize the many ways that God blesses us. In the first Psalm, one of my favorites, when he talks about the man that is blessed, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Then he talks about the fact that that man would be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And he would bring forth fruit in his own season. His leaf would never wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I suggest to you that all of us from time to time need to think about the ways in which God has prospered us. I think sometimes that we don't have an appreciation of how God has prospered us. And God prospering us doesn't mean that God is going to make us multimillionaires. But I want you to think about, as you look over your life, he says, "Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Have you ever thought about, has everything that I have done prospered? Just want you to think about that. And if you be honest with yourself, you'll probably be answering in the positive. You know what? God has prospered the things that I have sought to do. And maybe not to the extent that you initially had anticipated that it would be, but that doesn't mean God has not prospered you in all things that you've tried to do if you've meditated in His Word night and day. We've got a lot to be thankful for. This time of the year, many minds are fixed on thankfulness. It's that time of the year. And I don't use holidays to try to drive my sermons. But I do want us to think about the word thankful, since it's on the mind of a lot of people. Now, I've put it on the board this morning before you, and it's an acrostic sermon that I put together. I hope that we can all benefit from, and or each letter stands for a point in the sermon. There's outlines in the back. If you want to pick one up, you'll have the points that I point out to you this morning. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and then verse 6, he talks about for us to not be anxious, to not be a worrisome type of people. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." As I mentioned, we've got a lot to be thankful for, as the psalmist declared in the 23rd Psalm. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over." Every single day, our cup runs over. No matter how bad of a day that it seems that we might be having, our cup runs over. So I'd like for us to think about, number one, the fact that we need to be thankful for what we have. Too many times we're not thankful for what God has given to us. And we think that, well, I want more, more, more. Instead of being thankful for what He has given to us. In Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." How many of us are thankful before the Lord? Are you here this morning with a thankful heart? We ought to be. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 15, "And be ye thankful." And in 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 18, "In everything give thanks." Can all of us say that in everything we give thanks for what God has done for us, given to us, who we are, and who we're able to be because of what He's done, and who He is, and for the things that He's promised to come. But as you think about thankful this morning, the fact that we ought to be thankful. I'm going to add this word. We need to be thankful for the rest of these points that I'm going to point out. Number two, we need to be thankful for the hope of heaven. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the hope of heaven, just close the book, close the door, go home and forget about it. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable." If our hope was confined to this, to the misery of this earth life, and a lot of times it is misery. That's not to say there's not things to enjoy. That's not to say that there are things that we cannot benefit from and enjoy and value and appreciate in this life. We do have good times, and there's a lot, as we already mentioned, that we need to be thankful for. But our hope is not confined to this life. I'm thankful for the hope of an eternity with God in heaven. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the truth of the gospel, as Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 5. Did you know we are saved by hope? Romans chapter 8 verse 24. Hope is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 19. For the hope of eternal life, which God, who had before promised, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, Titus chapter 1 and in verse 2. So I'm thankful for the hope of heaven, that we can go there when this life is over. Having been faithful to God, be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Knowing that God has given us precious promises. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God has given us precious, exceeding great promises. Then he talks about in verse 3 and verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living," or a lively, the King James Version says, "hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." I'm thankful to God for the hope of heaven. But I dare not leave this point without saying that we have not the hope of a home in heaven if we are not in Christ Jesus. Because to die outside of Christ is to die with what? No hope. I know so because Paul wrote about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. When he told them, "Don't sorrow for those who have died in the Lord as you would others which have no hope." And so if we want to die with hope and have hope of eternal life and have hope of the home in heaven, then we've got to be in the Lord so we can die in the Lord. And the only way to be in the Lord is to be baptized into the Lord. Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 and 27. And Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 6. I'm thankful for the hope of heaven. But as I think about things to be thankful for. And by the way, I hope that our thankfulness is not confined to November. This time of the year, once a year. We need to be thankful all the time. Not just once a year. There's all kinds of things to be thankful for throughout the year. Not just get to November and say, "Well, you know what, now I'm going to recall how God has blessed me." We need to be recalling that all through the year. But I'm thankful for. And you might want to challenge yourself. If I were doing that sermon, what would I put in here? Take these out and do your own sermon. I'm thankful for "Amazing Grace. For by grace are you saved," Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 8. Without the grace of God, there is no way that you, me, or anyone else could be saved. So we ought to be thankful for God's grace. God's grace has been demonstrated to all mankind. Titus chapter 2 verses 10 and 11 talk about that. "For the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, We should live soberly, righteously in this present evil world. It's a bad world that we live in because it's got sin in it. That's what makes it bad and horrible, is the sin that's in it. The creation of God is good. But the worldliness is what's bad. But God's amazing grace has appeared unto all men, teaching us those things that he points out in that passage. But it's by the amazing grace of God that we can be saved. So I ask the question then, in what way has God's amazing grace been demonstrated toward mankind? It's unto salvation, that's what Paul wrote to Titus. But how is that revealed unto man? By Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 1 verse 17, the Bible says that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the grace of God was the sending of His Son. Without the sending of His Son, I cannot be saved, and you can't either. We're saved by grace, Ephesians 2 verses 5, and in verse 8, as I already mentioned to you. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, when Paul was writing to young Timothy. I don't know how young Timothy was, but I know he was younger than Paul. As Paul would write to my own son Timothy, his son in the faith, and wrote to him and mentioned that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 2. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I tell you, you could park right here in this verse and preach an entire sermon from verse 9. As you think about the points that or that you can take out of that. Who hath saved us? The who in that is in reference to God mentioned in the previous verse. God saves us. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. We are called by the gospel. Paul wrote about that. We are called by the gospel, not by some mysterious voice on the inner ear, on the inside, tugging and pulling and pushing. But we're called by the gospel. Call us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Well, you could just stop there and talk about it. We touched on it in the Bible class this morning, how the world misuses the word works in the Bible. Well, sure, there are works that do not save. That would be our own works, works by which we would conjure up and come up with. We're not saved by those. We're not saved by the works of the law, by which no flesh can be justified. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, we are not saved by the unfruitful works of darkness that we are to reprove rather than have fellowship with. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 11 talks about. We're not saved by the works of the flesh, of which no flesh shall inherit the kingdom of God. Paul wrote about that in the book of Galatians chapter 5. We're not saved about with boastful works, of which Paul wrote about in the book of Titus. Or rather, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what he's talking about. Works by which you could boast. Not of works of righteousness that he talks about. But we are saved by the works of God. That is what God has said to do in order to be saved. By the way, which belief is one of. James chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. So you could talk about the fact of different Bible works. But according to His own... Now watch, we're not saved by works. What are we saved by? Here's two points. We are saved by His purpose and grace. We've already talked about it. That's what we're talking about now, about grace. We're saved by grace. But he also said we're saved by God's own purpose. Did you ever think about that in the passage? About the purpose of God? You need to write down beside that passage, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, when he talks about the church. That it was God's purpose that the church would make known His manifold wisdom. And that purpose is in Christ Jesus. And God willed that before the world began. Did you know that God's purpose was before the world began? Did you know that the church of Christ was in the eternal mind of God? It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. The church is no accident. Did you know that Jesus dying, shedding His blood, was in the eternal purpose of God? Shed before the foundation of the world, 1 Peter chapter 1. We are saved by the purpose, and a lot goes under the purpose of God. And God's grace, which was given us in Christ. I'm telling you, you can make the point over and over about being in Christ. All spiritual blessings in Christ, Ephesians 1 verse 3. We are children of God by faith in Christ. Hope in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 and Galatians chapter 3. Before the world began. I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you are too, and I'm sure you are, for the amazing grace of God, knowing that I could not be saved without it. Then we get to the end and thankful. And I'm thankful for newness of life. You want a new life? Maybe you've lived your life in such a way you say, you know, I'm just sick and tired of this life that I've messed up in a lot of areas. And all of us can relate to that if we're going to be honest with ourselves. Did you know that you can have a new life? You can have a new birth. You can start anew. Where everything you've ever committed, regardless of how big, small, black, white, you might esteem it. No matter what it is, all of it washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1:5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul wrote to the church of Christ at Corinth, and he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things become new." When I think about newness of life, I think about 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I think about what Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 6 when he said, "Therefore, if we've been buried together with Him," verse 3, "know you not rather, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore," that is, in light of that, as a result of that, "therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in" what? "In newness of life." You have a new life. Now, unfortunately for some of us, starting with myself, as who I have in mind, I came up out of the watery grave looking like the same person. But I was to walk in newness of life. A new life. Walk in a new direction. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've got a new set of rules. I've got a new standard. I have a hope, as I've already mentioned, that I didn't have before. There's new expectations laid out for me that I've got to walk by. I'm headed to a new, different direction, place, than I was before I obeyed the gospel. And in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, when Jesus had a conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And that puzzled Nicodemus, because here was a grown man being told to be born again. "Lord, how can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Nicodemus, that's not birth I'm talking about. "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Talks about a new birth. It amazes me. I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. When individuals today say, "I have not," what's he talking about, the new birth? I'm telling you, as I've told you before, the best commentary on John chapter 3 is the book of Acts. Because every person who obeyed the gospel in the book of Acts was born again, yes or no? Absolutely they were. They were born again at the Spirit's direction to be baptized in water for the remission of their sins. And as a result of that, they had newness of life. They were raised to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ. So if you want commentary on what it means to be born again, go to the book of Acts and read how those people were born again. And that's how you and I are born again. Same way today, it'll never change. But then you come to the cave, and things to be thankful for. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the hope of heaven, thankful for the amazing grace of God, thankful for newness of life. I am thankful for the kingdom of Christ. When you obey the gospel as a result of God's amazing grace, and you have the hope of an eternal home in heaven, and you're raised to walk in newness of life, you're a citizen in the kingdom of Christ. I'm thankful for that. I'm looking around with a room full of people with citizenship. Legally. You got in the right way. Because you did what the Bible says to do to be in the kingdom. God won't recognize now if you don't come through that port of entry. You get the point? You got to do it God's way. There's no illegal citizens in God's kingdom. I don't say that maliciously, but I'm just taking a recent event and I'm making application spiritually to it. You got to come through what God said to do. John 3 verses 3 and 5 I already mentioned to you. I'm thankful for the kingdom, which is the church. Prophesied of in the Old Testament so many times. Passages you know so well. Isaiah chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7 and Micah chapter 4. Joel chapter 2 is a good passage. He talks about the last days and so forth, and Peter makes application of that in Acts chapter 2. But the kingdom of Christ has been established, which is a church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom and the church in that passage equates to one another. If you're in the church, you're in the kingdom. If you're in the kingdom, you're in the church. And it's a church that Jesus promised to build. Purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and in verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. The kingdom that Paul wrote to the Colossians, that they were delivered from the world and translated into the kingdom of God's Son. And the very kingdom that John said he was in. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 9. I'm thankful for the kingdom of Christ, knowing that if I'm in the kingdom, when the last comes, when the end comes, then I'll be in that kingdom which Christ will give up to God, deliver up to the Father. By the way, are you in the church? The kingdom? And it's sad that people today say, oh, we're still expecting the kingdom to come. Oh, no, if you do, you missed it. It's here now. Oh, it's not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual one. As the Lord pointed out in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then will my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. By the way, you need to get in the kingdom before you leave today if you're not. Or be restored if you have been, if you are, but you're not faithful unto the Lord. Which brings us to the end. I'm thankful for forgiveness. I'm thankful that all the things that Donnie has done in the past can be forgiven. No strings attached, by the way. Now, yes, God expects us to be faithful. I'm not talking about that. But completely washed away. As God said, I'll be merciful unto their sins, their iniquities. I will remember no more. Remember reading about that in the book of Hebrews, also from in the Old Testament. He pointed to the time when God would be merciful, forgive their unrighteousness, and remember their sin and iniquity no more. You can be forgiven for everything you've ever done. It's not the water that washes it away, but the blood of the Lamb, which we contact when we are immersed into Christ. Again, Romans 6 and Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Our forgiveness is made possible by the shed blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We just remember the Lord's death this morning, partook of the fruit of the vine, which was shed for many for the remission of sins, the Lord said. This is my blood. Drink ye all of it. For it was shed for the remission of the sins of the world. Matthew 26, 26 through 28. God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Ephesians 4, 32, and a good passage is 1 John 2 and then verse 12. I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God. But then I think about the you, I think about undeserved mercy. Mercy of which I don't deserve it. Certainly don't earn it. But God granted us mercy, compassion, love. In Titus chapter 3 and then verse 5, Paul's writing to Titus and encouraging him to do the work of an evangelist. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. I already mentioned to you 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4, but God who is, you could do a whole sermon, in fact I've preached it here, God is, and God is not. God is full, or rich rather, in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Are you thankful for the undeserved mercy of God? One more point. What would you put for the L? Here's probably what most people probably think about. God's love. A lot can be said about the love of God, the love of Christ, the love of brethren, the love of the world. Just go on, the full sermon on love. In a lot of different ways, a whole series. But in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God. Now how can we perceive the love of God? Keep reading. Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then in 1 John 4 and then verse 9, in this was manifest, that is made known, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Are you thankful for the love of God? Sending His Son, doing all that He does for us and enables us to do. We need to be thankful for the hope of an eternal home in heaven, God's amazing grace, newness of life, kingdom of Christ, forgiveness, undeserved mercy, and the love of God. Should you be here this morning, not a Christian, you've got a lot to be thankful for, and even more to be thankful for. You'll obey the gospel and become a child of God. Preacher, what must I do in order to be saved? Exactly what they did in the New Testament. Nothing more, nothing less. Hearing the gospel, Romans 10, verse 17. Believing it, John 8, 24. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Repent of your sins. A lot of times, I find myself saying, being willing to repent. Well, that's really poor way to say that. It's not just being willing. I don't want you to just be willing, and God doesn't expect you to be willing. God expects you to repent. This just simply means turning away from the ways of the world as you turn unto God. A change of mind that results in a change of life. Without which will perish, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5.
confess your faith in Christ that Jesus is the Son of God. He commanded it, Matthew 10:32. You can stand before this audience this morning with your own mouth. Make that confession. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. You may be here this morning, haven't done that already. But along the way, you've not lived your life right. You've pulled up your anchor of steadfastness, and as a result, you've drifted out into the ways of the world. But you realize that, and you want to come home. You want to be restored. You want to start anew and right in the sight of God. Start over. You can. Repent of that unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We have heaven's assurance that He is merciful, just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. We'll pray with you and for you. Jesus said, behold, I'm at the door, knocking. We need to open up. Obey the Lord right now.